65. Welcome back to the second hour. Matt Flynn direct coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM and WTTN 1580 AM. And in Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right back to the front lines of history in the making, and we're going right to the telephone lines. Joe of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Joe?
Well, I just wanted to comment. In the last half hour, you had a really interesting information and discussion about the GOP candidates for governor and their stance on unions. And you were speaking of Michaels, I believe it was, who has an experience in the construction industry, and it had been previously quite a vocal supporter of unions. And I brought it up because I met a guy within the last couple of weeks, older guy, longtime union man in the Steamfitters Union, and he spoke with great pride of what his union was able to pull together in terms of training facilities out of union dues to create a standard for their industry. And I mean, just spoke with great pride about that, that it really mattered that there were standards. And I was thinking at the time, gee, I think that's really important, not only for construction companies to know what they're getting, but also for safety on the job, so that a construction company has an idea that they can go to their insurance companies and say, these are union workers in our job, and they have been trained to the union specifications, and here's what they are. They're written down. Here's what the unions provide. And that the workers have a sense of safety. If there are other union members on that job, they understand what the job is, how to use the tools properly, how to keep safety first, foremost when you're on the job, because construction accidents can be deadly, they can be horrific and really expensive and disabling. But then you in the next part of your discussion, while I was gathering my thoughts, you were talking about these poor people up in Peshtigo and Marinette who are bedeviled by forever chemicals in their wells. And the statistic that you quoted was there are over a million wells in the state of private wells in the state of Wisconsin. That's 20% of people in this state. You had a woman who said, if we just knew what the standards were, and the refusal on the part of people like Voss to hear that concern, to hear that pain that exists when you can't even trust your water, and their refusal to go ahead and start to institute standards on forever chemicals. And then Wisco Paul called you and said, once you lose the water, what am I supposed to drink? And there's no better sum up of kind of the lack of standards and how disruptive that is. Once you lose the water, what am I supposed to drink? And I just wanted to make the comment that lack of standards isn't in just one story or one subject. It's a thread that runs across this discussion of the importance of looking at what Republicans are doing to the state by the lack of standards. So just wanted to make that comment, Matt, and I await your response. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Joe. That is excellent, as always. And let me just respond to two things that Joe just said. One, it was quite excellent. One is you absolutely nailed the union pride and the union safety concerns with having trained construction workers. The construction trades, they go out on a job site and they're facing injury and perhaps lethal injury every day. And so what in Wisconsin and in states where we have very, very strong, historically, union movement. Out of union dues, the unions constructed training facilities of their own. And I've toured the laborers, for instance, and they would have a large area, you know, with dirt on it, maybe a crane, and they take these recruits, anybody who wanted to be a laborer, and they'd say, okay, this is how you operate a crane. This is how you do this. This is how you do that. Be careful of this. Be careful of that. These people are trained and, you know, they can be on probation. They don't take everybody. Sometimes they'll have people that, you know, would be a threat on the job. They don't take them. Then when Michaels or any of these construction companies win a bid to build a building in Milwaukee or Madison or anywhere, they either in the old days, they go to a union hall or they could just call up the unions and say, okay, I need 20 laborers. Send me your best. And they're all the best. So they get 20 of them. I had a friend, believe it or not, who is the CEO of a construction company in Chicago. They built McCormick Place. They built dams. They built a lot of things, nuclear reactors. They got a contract in Florida, in Naples, Florida, to build, back in 1979 time period, a condo. What he did was he went to the Chicago trades, and he got them, and he gave them a bonus, and he flew them all down to Florida, put them up in hotels or motels at the company's expense with a food voucher, and they built this terrific building. I've seen that building. I've been in that building. And I said to him once, why did you do that? Because Florida is a right-to-work state. You could have gotten much cheaper wages. He said, Matt, I wanted the building to stay standing, and I didn't want guys killed on the job. I wanted the building to stay standing, and I didn't want guys to get killed on the job. Okay? So what Joe said is absolutely right. Michaels and the other contractors in the state knew that. It doesn't do them in. Let's say, and I'm making this wage up, adjusted for time. Let's say they can get a union worker for $25 an hour, but that person is trained, knows what he's doing, he's safe, and he'll get the job done. Or they can get a right-to-work worker for $15 an hour. The Republican Party go, oh, great, well, why don't you get, well, no. The cost of building the building is built into the bid. They're known for quality work, and they want safety. They want an OSHA record with no fatalities and no injuries over a long period of time. What the Republican Party, in pushing through right to work and insisting that it apply to the trades, is exactly what produces shoddy workmanship and injuries. Now, what I don't like about Michaels, Joe, I got to tell you this. The guy did it. What he should have said is, look, I run a construction company. This is what I think. The heck with you. No, now he snuck around. He was sly and sneaky, and he said, no, I never did that. Just flat out, not the truth. So we got to elect Evers again simply because he's a goalie, and he'll veto things, crazy things. Michaels, at first I thought maybe he would too. Now I'm not so sure, Joe. I'm not so sure. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Dick of Madison?
Well, I bet you'll love this. I'm watching Morning Joe this morning. He had a gentleman on there, I forget his name, wrote a book about some of these different individuals from politically from January 6th, like Meadows and McCarthy and the wonderful Lindsey Graham and all the rest of the players and Giuliani. And this is the most telling thing why these people never should be by the levers of power. He said one of the things that I asked him was, you know, what about historically? You'll say these things about the guy off the record, but you won't otherwise, like in the case of McCarthy, who, you know, stood up to him for one day and then goes down and bows and scrapes to him ever since. Well, the guy said exactly what most of them said, and Giuliani actually said this to him. I don't care. I'll be dead anyway. So I used to think of politicians as people who are real interested and how history would look at them. Apparently, I'm all wrong, and history doesn't mean a damn thing.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Dick. You know, you'd think that even basic human pride and decency would say, look, McCarthy called up Trump on January 6th, for instance, Kevin McCarthy, who aspires to be the speaker. They said, you got to put a stop to this. And then he said, on the floor of the Congress, right after January 6th, Trump is done. I denounce this in the strongest terms. And then he read the polls, and he goes, well, it wasn't so bad. And Ron Johnson said, I would have been concerned if it were Black Lives Matter, slipping a racial thing in. Black Lives Matter protests, certainly in Wisconsin and most of them around the country, were peaceful. And this thing, ginned up by Trump, were armed people, went up to murder the vice president, the speaker, and five people were killed. There is no decency. There is no sense of shame in Kevin McCarthy. There is no sense of shame in Lindsey Graham, who now may have to take the fifth if his attempt to defeat the subpoena that was served on him is somehow unsuccessful, which I think it will be. He was subpoenaed by a grand jury in Atlanta over the extortion of Raffensperger to forge 11,000 votes. So I'm with you. I would have thought that at some point somebody get up on his hind legs and develop a spine and go, look, here's what I believe. And if it, and then just like Liz Cheney. I mean, Liz Cheney is running the toughest state in the union. Wyoming and Utah with the biggest, and West Virginia, the three biggest states with the biggest Trump margins. She's running statewide. They only have one congressman, and so she has to run statewide like a senator. And she's standing tall. She's standing tall. She's the only one. Well, no, Kinzinger. Mitt Romney, halfway. He did vote to convict Trump on two impeachments over Ukraine and over January 6th. And he is leaking word that he may run as a third party candidate in 2024, which would injure Trump if he's the nominee. So stand by for that. But I second what Dick of Madison said. There isn't rudimentary shame, sense of scandal, sense of pride, sense of integrity in any of the leadership currently in the Republican Party, except for Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. Unfortunately, they're both getting squeezed out. And I'll tell you what, some of the things that Trump, I mean, I told you before, Trump called Voss. He called on Voss on Saturday to overturn the 2020 election in Wisconsin. I said that before, after the Republican Supreme Court 4-3 said we can't use lockboxes. So Trump goes, well, if you couldn't use them, that got to be retroactive. Oh, really? Retroactive, is it? Retroactive, and therefore you have to throw out the election. Well, maybe not, because a lot of Republicans voted in the lockboxes. Let's have another election in Wisconsin. This guy cannot give up. This guy doesn't get it. This guy is not wanted at the party. This guy is bad news. People are ashamed to have him come sneaking around. They're ashamed to have him come sneaking around. Going to a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
For what he never knew, now man's reign is through. But through eternal night, the twinkling of starlight, so very far away, maybe it's only yesterday.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. There's a very ominous thing happening in the background that I want you to know about and keep an eye on. The Republicans in the state legislature, the corrupt, gerrymandered, illegitimate state legislative majority, they have threatened, and they are about to bring a lawsuit against Doug La Follette, our Secretary of State. And they're doing it to force him to certify and send to Congress a demand by the Republicans in the legislature for a national legislative constitutional convention. What's that all about? There is an article in the Constitution, it goes back to the 1700s, that says if two-thirds of the state want to get together again to redraft the Constitution, they can. This is back in the 1780s, when people looked at that and thought, okay, well, we'll see how this goes. And if we don't like it, we'll just get back together and write a new Constitution. Maybe what Madison and Jefferson and Monroe and the rest of them, what George Washington and Benjamin Franklin did, will turn out to be no good. Well, it turned out to be very good because it's lasted. George Washington became president in 1788, and it's lasted now till 2022. These people on the right, and it's not just Trump, want to invoke that old provision from the 1700s and redo the Constitution. And you may be laughing. Don't laugh. I'm not kidding. This is the warning. I'm giving you a warning. Remember Paul Revere? One if by land, two if by sea. The British are coming. Remember that? Well, this is a warning to you now. There are 50 states. It would take 34 of them to call a new constitutional convention. Right now, something like 28 or 9 of them have done that. These are gerrymandered, illegitimate legislatures in red states. And what would happen if there is a convention? It would meet in Las Vegas or Mar-a-Lago. There'd be lobbyists. There'd be food. There'd be drink. Be like a convention. And they'd all sit down and go through the Constitution again. And they go, well, you know, Alexander Hamilton wasn't that smart. Thomas Jefferson wasn't all that smart. James Madison isn't what he was cracked up to be. Benjamin Franklin wasn't that smart. George Washington wouldn't get into West Point today. We're smarter than they are. We're going to redo the Constitution. Under Scott Walker, the gerrymandered legislature passed a demand that he signed off on. Initially, the Republicans in the state Senate wouldn't agree, and then they knuckled under. And the issues that they want to redraft the Constitution on are a balanced budget amendment, so that every year it has to be balanced, every year, term limits for members of Congress, and limit federal powers, to go back to the primacy of the states. But we didn't really have a foreign policy in 1788 other than stand up to the British and welcome French support. There are no nuclear weapons. We are now the most powerful country in the world. We cannot have gerrymandered red state legislatures running the United States through the sneaky backdoor way of doing it. If you demanded a balanced budget every year, you would come down in the first year to this. Do we keep our defense budget or do we get rid of Medicare? Do we keep our defense budget or get rid of Social Security? This is an attempt by the Republican Party to get rid of Medicare and Social Security. Put older folks back in poverty the way they were before Roosevelt, living in huts, very little food, unless they have kids. And you laugh, you know, you may say, come on, Matt, that couldn't happen. I'm telling you, it's happening in front of your nose. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. First you have gerrymander, then they call for a constitutional convention, and they say, we're not going to redo the First Amendment. Oh, except maybe to put a little tail on it that says, accept that, and then put in the junk we want. And the Fourth Amendment and the Fifth Amendment, you know, and you have some people on the Democratic side who are really dumb. And they go, yeah, we should have a constitutional convention and have a constitutional prohibition on Citizens United. Are you kidding me? The minute this constitutional convention is convened and you have a corrupt Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, 6-3 Republican, that is on track to strip our democracy through the judiciary. They're not elected. They're very young, many of them. And they were illegitimately confirmed, one of them in the lame duck, by a president who had just lost an election, and they were voted on by senators who were either retiring or were beaten. But in November, December time period, they could do it before they're thrown out in January, and we're supposed to put up with this? This is very, very dangerous. They're talking about in 2021 Assembly Joint Resolution 2. If this gets sent to the Congress, that would mean that I think, depending on the number, 29 or 30 states would have certified it, and you only need 34. And then there has to be a convention. Who do you think is going to dominate that convention? The January 6th mob, Trump? This is happening to our country. Fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. It's silent. It only has to, in the presidential sense, creep in 6 states. Ours is one of them. You're not going to have an army out there saying that we're going to put in a fascist government. You will have lawyers who are silent with briefcases doing it. The weakness in the Constitution was the non-elected judiciary. Any judge worth his salt would put an end to this by saying, look, the first state to ratify this was a long time ago, and there's a whole bunch of different hodgepodges of what they want, and we need, from an equitable point of view, this is going to happen. It has to happen within, say, a two-year period or one-year period, and it has to be coherent. They're going to stretch this out for 20 years. Fascists are on the move in the Republican Party, and if you don't understand that and you don't believe it, you're like a bird on a fence waiting to be shot. Okay? I'm telling you that. I'm telling you that. They're going to sue Doug La Follette. Doug will stand tall, a good man, running for re-election. But 4-3, the Republican State Supreme Court may uphold them, and 6-3, the Republican U.S. Supreme Court may uphold them, and judges will have been the ones that tear down our Constitution. Be very aware of this. And that's why I say the January, or the, I should say the February and April primary and general election. You have a right to be left alone. This particular Republican Party is stripping away your individual rights to be left alone. I mean, they're putting out $10,000 snitch bounties on women. Who the heck said they could do that? They can't under the Constitution, and yet Republicans have said they can. But what I'm getting at, what is very, very dangerous, is if there is a constitutional amendment and some bozos go, oh, yeah, we should have a balanced budget amendment, not only do you have to get rid of Medicare and Medicaid to balance it instead of reforming both of those, which we're doing, but in addition to that, you can't have a great nation like ours somehow defaulting on our debt. We have to pay interest every year. The Republican Party cannot be trusted around money. The ones that don't steal it will make sure that their donors steal it. You cannot have them around money. You cannot trust them with democracy. There are too few Liz Cheneys, there are too few Adam Kinzingers, and too many fascists in the Republican Party right now, and I'm saying it. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Good morning. Just reiterating what you were just talking about a minute ago, you know, the Republicans were for small government, but now they're legislating what a woman can do with her body. The Supreme Court's going to tell us how we can vote. They're going to tell us how we can pray. They're going to control our lives completely. This weekend, I was out with a lot of people. I was out with one guy who's about as dedicated Trumper as I've ever met. I know him quite well, and we kind of got to the core of his problem. These guys really believe the whole country is out to get them. They're victims. They're crime victims. You know, I can't believe it. They don't trust our government. They don't trust anybody, but they trust Trump. Here's what I would recommend to all the listeners. Don't go out and argue with people. Educate them. Don't alienate them. Educate them. I was with another guy that he was a Trump person, but in minutes, he started agreeing with me. And he started out with, oh, look what Biden's done to the gas prices. I said, wait a minute, they're down 50 cents a gallon. You're complaining. I thought you wanted them down. Do you want them up? He said, no, I want them down. I said, well, Biden's bringing them down. And we discussed it. In the end, he said, thanks. I look forward to seeing you again. I was really happy, Matt. I believe we can get out. You know, we come to listen to shows like this. We kind of re-energize, get out there. But this propaganda, I mean, Fox is just insane what they're trying to do to the country. They really want to destroy America as we know it. They have no use for democracy. So thanks again, Matt, and whatever your thoughts are, I'll hear them off air. Thanks. Have a great day.
You know, no, thanks a lot, Bill. Yeah, I want to close in on something you said. The Republican Party markets itself as the party of individual liberties. But I'm going to give everybody out there two ways that I think the Democrats have to get the message out. One is they're not the parties of individual liberties. They never have been, but they certainly aren't now. They're supporting snitch bounties of 10 grand that would be brought by plaintiffs' lawyers against women. Snitch bounties, number one. Number two, everything they touch turns to you-know-what. Our water has cancer in it right now. Our elections right now are being restricted. The right to vote is being restricted. And they have, in the court and on the ballot, taken away your right to vote for president. It is going to be simply that the gerrymandered legislature picks the electors. And they're going, well, because in 1788, there was no election. That's right. George Washington had just won the Revolutionary War. He was the guy. They all got together and said, we want him. There was a consensus. This isn't 1788. This is not 1788. And they're using the fiction of going back to 1788 to somehow just pick people who are going to get rid of Social Security and Medicare, keep cancer in the water, become isolationist, jeopardize this country, suck up to Putin, that's Trump, Tucker Carlson, Pompeo, Josh Hawley, all the rest of them, destroy NATO. They are slowly destroying our democracy. They are putting on the ballot, if they get in, a resolution that you will not have the right to vote for treasurer, state secretary of state, lieutenant governor, or the head of DPI, Department of Public Instruction. They will be appointments of the governor. They are restricting your right to vote. You must understand that. Let me tell you another way they're doing it. I said that the courts were involved too. I just told you that the Republicans and the gerrymandered legislature are going to sue Doug LaFollette to try to get him to certify a call for a constitutional convention. Let me tell you something else about the constitutional convention. You may say, well, okay, Wisconsin, we'll have a good diverse election. No, you're not going to have that. When Walker set it up, there are going to be 10 votes for the Wisconsin delegation. 7 of them are going to be Republicans and 3 Democrats, even though we win more than 50% of the vote in state assembly elections. It's rigged. The vote at the Constitutional Convention itself will be rigged and gerrymandered. It will not show the will of the states. It will show the will of the gerrymandered legislatures, which were engineered by donors. It has no legitimacy. How are the courts also helping in that? There's a case out of North Carolina called Moore v. Harper. They're going to hear oral argument in the fall. They granted what's called a petition for a writ of certiorari. It's a Latin word, C-E-R-T-I-O-R-A-R-I, a writ to make more certain, to interpret the law. And the issue in Moore v. Harper is what's called the constitutional supremacy of the legislature. This goes back to 1788, when George Washington became president. And it goes like this. The state legislatures can do anything they want on elections, anything. And they can't be overturned even by a federal court, but they can't even be vetoed by a state governor. And they can't be overturned by a state Supreme Court. Who the hell does the U.S. Supreme Court think that they're going to impose that from the U.S. Supreme Court, which is a federal court, to what the state governor and Supreme Court can do in their own states? The idea is that then you will have Voss and a gerrymandered legislature, and you have them in a lot of states, more than half, being able to gerrymander themselves in perpetuity. Cannot be reviewed by any court. Can't be vetoed by a governor. Can't be overturned by a Wisconsin Supreme Court if Janet Protasiewicz wins in April, which she will. They're just going to say it. They are illegitimate. Amy Comey Barrett was proposed and confirmed in lame duck by a president who lost after Merrick Garland wasn't even given a hearing for a year. This is not democracy. When I tell you that fascism creeps in on little cat's feet, I mean it. This is the little cat's feet. If they rule in Moore v. Harper, oral argument in the fall, probably come out just after Christmas or in the spring. what's called the constitutional supremacy of the state legislatures, even gerrymandered ones. And they tamper with what the states can do with their own Supreme Court and governors. What they're saying is that the states can say the legislatures will pick the electors, presidential electors. Elections are a beauty contest. It's basically who the donors want. Not only that, the states can do what Phoenix did, what Arizona did a few years ago. They said every county in Phoenix will have one polling place. Well, Phoenix has millions of people. But, you know, Elkhorn or Warthog Snout, Arizona, might have 500 people. They all have one polling place. Can you imagine millions of people trying to get into one polling place? They'll be able to do that. There's one thing that I wonder if the Supreme Court would even stop. Let's suppose you had a legislature that said that black people can't vote in elections. Let's just say you had that. Under constitutional supremacy, that or legislative supremacy, that would mean they could do that. But since then, we have had the 14th, 15th, and 13th, 14th, 15th Amendments. Would the legislature say no? We, as a federal court, will overrule that when we've already said that nobody can overrule it? I think Alito would not overrule that. I think it probably would be overruled in that narrow case because the others would be embarrassed and think, we're going to have a revolution here. You're going to have folks coming down to the Supreme Court looking for us. But why should they pick and choose about constitutional supremacy of a state legislature? But they're doing it. So here are the sneaky legal things going on. And here's the fact of the matter. The sneaky legal things are, number one, Scott Walker had rammed through, and the gerrymandered legislature rammed through, a call for a constitutional convention that would have given Wisconsin 7 out of 10 votes to the Republicans to go and rewrite the Constitution. They're now suing Doug La Follette, and that's going to end up in the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which is 4-3 Republican. And then they have the U.S. Supreme Court about to hear a case and pretend that this is legal. This is like a Russian court. You know, Brittany Griner pled guilty because 99.5% of people in Russian courts get found guilty. And the other half percent, somebody bribed Putin, and he called the judges and said, let this one off. It's a fake judicial system. We have a fake judicial system in many, many respects. It's not as bad as Russia's right now, because on some things that aren't political, they'll sit back and they'll try to do what they think is right. But when it comes to voting, or representing the interests of the Republican Party by pretending that they're nonpartisan, we have a fake judicial system. We have an illegitimate U.S. Supreme Court that can only be corrected by impeachment and conviction. By the way, the way you get rid of a U.S. Supreme Court justice, just like a president, impeachment and conviction, that takes 67 votes in the Senate. The last time the Democrats had 67 senators was in 1974. That's almost 50 years ago. It's not happening. The red states will veto it. They've tried many, many different ways to bust the union. They tried it in 1861. They tried it in fights over slavery right at the beginning of the country. We came together, certainly in the Second World War, came together. You know, when I was in the Navy, we had I had tremendous shipmates from all these states. Innately, all Americans are united and should be united. But fascism, it creeps in on little cat's feet. This is not the will of people in these states. But donors have gotten to the leaders. And stand by. You are going to have Moore v. Harper. If they come out with a decision that says the state legislatures can do whatever they want on voting and elections, and nobody can touch them, not even their own governors and state Supreme Courts, that is a statement of fascist government. And you must understand that. And the sneaky thing they're doing is they're not saying themselves, the Supreme Court, that we don't, that we're mandating that you do X, Y, or Z. We're just saying the states can do it. There are wardens that have been prosecuted in prison for setting up fights among inmates for their pleasure. In other words, gladiator fights. They don't do it by putting two people in a ring. They just let two opposing gang leaders in the same room together, and then they enjoy themselves watching it. That's what the Supreme Court is doing. The Supreme Court is doing is slowly dismantling our Constitution. They're not elected. Nobody asked them, and they weren't even legitimately appointed. It is not legitimate to ram through someone. Ginsburg died in October, and they rammed through somebody in 3 weeks after Trump lost the election, and that's the swing vote to dismantle our election and dismantle our Constitution, that Hamilton and Jefferson and Madison and Franklin and John Jay and Washington and the rest put together so that lobbyists can put something together that overrides them. That's not happening. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
I find your lack of Devil Radio 92.7 disturbing. Do not fail me again.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to go to Ukraine. Russia has just announced that they are taking an operational pause before they start a larger offensive, trying to draft and bribe more people. They're giving double wages. They're giving prisoners a $3,100 equivalent bonus to fight. I'll tell you what, we have sent them, four multi-launch MIRVs, multi-launch rocket missile, rocket launchers. They're guided missiles. They're wreaking havoc on the Ruskies. We're going to send them four more. Give them 100 more. Give them 100 more. Bomb the living whatever out of the Ruskies. The Russians just bombed an apartment, killed 15 people, 20 are trapped. Zelensky, President Zelensky, called it Russian terror. That's what it is. Russian terror. They're just selectively bombing civilians. But, you know, we don't bomb apartments in Moscow. When they bomb a church, we don't bomb St. Basil's in Moscow or St. Isaac's in St. Petersburg. We don't bomb the Duma or the Kremlin. So they get away with killing and bombing. And Zelensky doesn't retaliate. I think it's time to start bombing Russian towns right near the border. The Russians are genocidal sadists. They are acting in a non-human fashion. One positive development, senior officials, senior officers, military in the Belarus military have warned the pig Lukashenko, Putin's man running Belarus, he wasn't elected, in an open letter that he better not go to war with Ukraine. They said it's pure suicide. We'll be, quote, evicted from the community of civilized states. We'll be an international outcast for years to come. Russia is engineering the destruction of the sovereignty of Belarus. My advice to them, kill Lukashenko. Kill the pig. Let Putin know that he can't control Belarus just like he can't control Ukraine. You know, people say, well, don't humiliate Putin, blah, blah, blah. Putin is Hitler. The only way to stop this is to remove Putin. And, you know, we should not be the ones that get involved in that. But there has to be such massive losses on the Russian side that the oligarchs, who are themselves genocidal sadists and thieves, will kill the main genocidal sadist and thief, Putin, on the grounds that what he is doing is hurting them. That's what's going to happen. Go to the lines. PT of Milwaukee. My friend, what's your mind, APT?
Hey, Matt. So I have one question and a couple comments regarding, and you can answer offline if we have time, regarding Doug LaFollette. Is he constitutionally required to do that? And the comments I have are, you know, I still do drive my wife down to City Hall in Milwaukee now and then. And on the way back, and this is several years ago, I noticed that the new Milwaukee Symphony home?
Yeah.
It was like a C.D. Smith construction. And I noticed every time, I found it quite peculiar. They had one entrance for union construction workers and one entrance for non-union. And I often wondered what that was. And then regarding this whole, case that the Supreme Court in D.C. is taking up, that is really, really scary to think that Voss would have full power. I know that's what he wants, right. But just, yeah. So I'm going to hang up, and if you could just answer those questions and comment on the union thing. Thanks. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Yeah, thanks, PT. Good questions. First of all, on Doug LaFollette, Doug is not signing the certification. I wouldn't either. And it could be that our Wisconsin Supreme Court orders him to, because it's 4-3 Republican, but his reasons for not doing it, I think, are very sound. It's an illegitimate resolution. It's a resolution that was engineered in a gerrymandered legislature, and the number of votes we'll get is only something like 7 out of 10. I should say, of the 10 votes, 7 out of 10 will be Republican, which doesn't reflect the actual support in the state. In other words, it's a scam. Now, people on the other side, Republicans, will say, well, you wanted us to certify Biden's victory. That's true. He won the election. But this is would be a certification of something that's exactly the opposite. In other words, a fake certification to give 7 out of 10 votes to Republicans to overturn the Constitution. And so that's why he won't do it. Now, if he does, it takes 34 states. And I think we would only be 29, I think, or 30. And obviously California and Illinois will never do it, but a lot of these smaller states, many of them have already done it. And the people, even in the Democratic Party, have said, well, let's do that and get rid of Citizens United. That is absolutely crazy. That's absolutely crazy. The way you get rid of Citizens United is get a Democratic Supreme Court. But if they think they can go into a shark pit like that, that's run by Republican donors, they're crazy. They're going to come out ending up with a balanced budget amendment that will require making a choice between our defense budget and Medicare. That's what they are trying to do. And it's illegitimate. It's unconstitutional. And my statement is this. Who are the Republicans to tell me they're an illegitimate judiciary to tell me that they're going to make that decision? Our democracy is at risk. On the union, non-union doors, PT, I'm not familiar with that. I just don't have an answer. I'll go down and check it out. I did not know that. I'm not sure what that's all about. But thank you very much for calling. We're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Matt Flynn, Director. We're back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.